So I wanted to do that as a segue, by the way, guys, the show's live now. I wanted to do that as a segue into asking Sean Westfall what he thought of Napoleon Dynamite. And then Sean dropped on me before we started the show. You've never seen Napoleon Dynamite.
I have never seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite.
And then you completed the combo after the quick jab to my face with an uppercut by saying you only saw Office Space in 2016.
There are tons of comedic movies that are touchstones in the culture that I've never seen. There are entire episodes of shows or seasons of shows that people are binging these days. I have yet to partake of any of that. Also, in addition to throw a cherry on top of this cake to mix a metaphor, I've never seen any of the I've seen one Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
And I saw I've seen two Spider-Man movies, the what's his name, the guy from the show who's
only the Andrew Garfield ones.
Yes, only the Andrew Garfield ones, who I have no idea who that is.
Yes.
I've seen Iron Man primarily because it's so ubiquitous on like cable, on you know, streaming.
So you're a big TBS guy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, right. So the rest of the Marvel universe, you know, and this is following upon, you know, Stan Lee's death. I wouldn't say tragic because he was what, 144 years old, I think.
He was.
Yeah, and so it's not like we didn't see it coming.
But he was an American hero, especially after the age of 80 when he let his slaves go.
Right.
And Marvel shied away from that business. Like, I thought that was a big move.
I'm glad they got out of the chattel slave industry. That's great.
Especially because he did in 1981. I mean, he had taken things a little too far.
That's right. Yes, that's right. So yeah. So just to sum up, there's tons of pop culture references that I will never get because I have not seen.
Really?
Yeah.
I really think that you should never see Napoleon Dynamite because it's not worth really watching. But you get so much. Just joy probably out of people's faces when they hear you've never seen that movie.
I agree with Howard 100%. By the way, this is Papa's Basement. Look us up on iTunes, YouTube, all that crap. P-A-P-A is the spelling. Not Notorious B.I.G.'s P-O-P-P-A. He screwed up my SEO from beyond the grave. God, you know what? I wish Stan Lee had never emancipated his mother. There, I said it. I said it. I cleanse my hands of it. I enjoyed that film. It is the first comedy I saw primarily to be able to talk comedy with a woman.
Now, we're talking about Office Space, right?
No, we're talking Nappy D.
Nappy D? Is that what the kids call it?
Yeah. That's what my tattoo reads. Okay. It's all on my back. I watched it because a girl that I was hollering at before MySpace even came out, who lived in San Diego, some like inked up, I guess now you would say like an Orange County style girl.
Right.
But she was like inked up, punk chick, really hot. And she was like, "You haven't seen this?" And you say you're into funny stuff. And I was like, "All right, I'll watch."
Wait, is that how she said it? Like,
she
was like, "Vocal fry."
I'm not going to DM you any more pictures of my tanned teats if you don't see Nappy D. Wow. And I was like, "All right, matinee it is because I love them things." And I saw it, and I didn't click with it at first, but like I then was given a DVD by another girl for a birthday, and
How did she talk?
She was like this, and she was like,
she was an upspeaker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to hear my Hillary Clinton impression?
Yes.
Well, now you've got it. That's all I got, sir. One arrow in that quiver. And I came to really enjoy the film, especially when HBO rotated it. I don't know why. It's not great. And like Jared Hess has gone on to prove that, honest to God, that was like putting like a monkey with a spear against like someone with the medieval times full knight outfit. And just that one time that monkey got that lucky jab through his visor and killed that knight, and you're like, my God, we need an army of monkeys with spears. They're unstoppable. And then you realized really quickly that was a horrible idea. He did Nacho Libre. And
oh, did he?
Yeah, which just...
Wait, Jared Hess is the director or writer?
I believe both.
Okay.
And he's Mormon, and his wife was in the church, and I think they both have these... She had an even more biblical name, like Jerusha or something like that. Like, so, like she had a name like a woman that begat someone. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
It was very, very holy. And they did Nacho Libre, and everyone was expecting this huge hit because they're like, okay, we've got the guys that did Napoleon Dynamite, but we put fat Jack Black in,
right,
and he's running around in silk pants with his fat boy tits out. Right. Like, how can this go wrong? And it is the only film I've ever fallen asleep on, like,
wow,
during a theater. And I was there with a date even. She was just like, what, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm fine. This film's good. And yeah, then he did Gentleman Broncos. I think that was the third and last.
Yeah.
And that one cost maybe $3 million and made like $200,000. I don't know. I still get huge laughs from those, like Gentleman Broncos.
Right.
It had three or four of the biggest laughs I've ever had in a movie, and also 10 to 15 minutes of downtime.
Just nothing, huh?
Yeah, just nothingness into gut-busting laughter. And, like, just the dumbest stuff. Like, I'm embarrassed to say. Like, I believe at one point there's a boa constrictor with diarrhea, and this guy is wearing it around his neck, and the snake is just crapping all over him. And, I mean, I've explained the scene at all. All the explaining that needs to take place. There's no context.
Yeah, there's no need to see it.
Yeah, and you're fine not seeing the film. But scenes like that got me. I believe a blow dart going into a breast implant. Like, clearly, I am as highbrow.
So highbrow comedy. Noel Coward, right?
Yeah, like an Italian organ grinder with a monkey would call me a peasant right now. Just like piece of crap. So that's what I'm saying. I wanted to know how you felt about the Nappy D, and you blindsided me. Guys, we were recording this the day before Thanksgiving, so mm-hmm. I figure we can talk Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Sean and I have a live podcast coming up in 1 month, right.
under a month.
We should plug that and talk about it and solicit ideas. I was in Baltimore this weekend.
Yeah, I heard. You were at Ravens watch party, right?
I was at two different dive bars in Baltimore, and I love that city, and it's magical. We can talk that.
I love that city too, by the way.
Do you really?
I have been to Baltimore, so can I stay on the show? Or
you can, yes. Right, even though you've never done the Nappy D, I had to explain to you who Thor was because you're not familiar with either comics or Norse mythology. That was a little weird, and me skipping out on a meditation event that I went to, thinking it would better me as a person. I don't know. Guys, pick something. Anyone feel strongly about anything?
I think the meditation thing is weird. You got to start with that.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell's going on?
I got to start. Okay. I can do that. I can do that 100%. A couple weeks ago, I was talking with my shrink. And I was like, you know what? This is great. Like any healthy man, I was like, you know what? This is great. But I think you've pretty much cured me at this point. We've done almost a year together. I'm pretty much fixed.
What was the baseline for cured? What was the benchmark, as they say?
She hurled a box of child pornography in front of me, and I just went, not this day, young
You're
lady.
You're cured.
Yeah, and she was like, all right, you get the sane stamp. And then she took the oven mitts that had been duct taped to my hands so I wouldn't touch myself, and that was that. We were good. The state said I was fine. No, I guess I walked in very depressed and directionless, and I walked out that way, too. But I wanted to get a little more of a, you know, for years now, I've been like, we're talking 15 years. Mm-hmm. I've been like, I want to do comedy.
Right.
I want to lose weight.
Right.
And those are pretty much my two goals, you know, like not be a fat slob and do comedy.
Right.
And I've been moving in these directions.
You have.
It's been okay. It's been good progress. They did weigh me in at the doctor's yesterday, and I hadn't lost enough weight, so I did go to Costco and buy two pumpkin pies and eat one of them.
Well played, sir.
So, yeah, I am sane, just like I said I was. But I was talking to my doc, and I'm like, look, I would like to do meditation. That seems like something that's sane, perfectly sane thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I would benefit from that.
Right.
And she was like, well, you know, right next door, she's like in the McLean area. She's like, right down the road, there is the Meditation Museum.
Wait, there's a museum for meditation?
It's not even the Meditation Museum. It's the Meditation Museum 2. Roman numeral 2.
So there's another one, and this is a mezzanine.
One in Rockville, yes. This is the annex.
That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
The extra. The uncut.
There's so much curated in the original, the first version that we have to like half a second.
They have like thousands of like Buddha toenails and stuff like that.
Wow.
They
relics.
Huh? Yeah, exactly. Relics. They're like, here's his third dried penis. Like it's all
three
good.
Penises?
Yeah, it's all.
No wonder he was the Buddha.
I would be Zen too.
That's right.
So I Now I'm just picturing him jizzing like the spreader from Contra. All right, that's, thank you. So she's like, why don't you check that out? And I go on their website. They do have a website. They're down with the 21st century.
Oh, thank God.
And they're like, hey, we're having an event this Sunday called, like, Be Your Best Self or something like that. And I'm like, this is great. Like, I want to meditate and I want to not be the lumpy piece of crap that I am right now.
Right.
And I was worried it was going to cut into the Redskins game, which they ultimately were smashed at home by the Falcons. So I should have been happy to miss any and all of that game.
But here's the thing.
Yes.
You said, I want to meditate, but I don't want to miss the Redskins game.
Yes.
You don't think there's
spoken
any...
Spoken like Gandhi.
Yeah, I'm not going to even go with the racist Apu voice, so I'm not going to do that. But nice try, though. Very nice try.
I heard another improv dude do that recently.
Oh, God.
It doesn't go well anymore.
It doesn't go well anymore.
It feels
anymore.
Weird.
But don't you think that these two things, you know, are... How would the medical profession say? Contraindicated?
I think that... I need to meditate, but I need to be happy. Uh-huh. Like, I'm a man of the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a kind of an exennial, whatever, the right before the millennials.
Right.
So really, I only follow the pleasure principle. Just anything. Just really like a baby being fed Gerber while his genitals are being bathed. You know, that's me. Just like, can I crap in a diety? Can I eat my creamed carrots? That's it. I have no higher purpose in life. I am junk. And so, no, I see nothing contradictory. Okay. If I have to walk out of enlightenment to see Adrian Peterson have either a 4-yard game or a 150-yard game, I'm willing to ride the odds. He had a bad, bad game that day. So I come to this center, and it's in like a strip mall. So sign number one of a good museum.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk in, and it's on the second floor. It's baking hot. And now that you've painted me as a racist, I'm going to jump into the pool. But the first thing that gave me slight pause, and not because I was any sort of afraid or otherwise, just something you note.
Right.
Like if you walk into a Chinese restaurant and you saw like 36 African-American families dining, you wouldn't walk out or anything. You'd just be like, this is slightly odd. Like right. I wouldn't expect 36 African-American families dining in Chantilly, Virginia, at right. the, you know, at the Lucky Duck or whatever the hell.
Right.
So I walk in and like the entire staff and everyone is like East Indian or not. Yeah. Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, that is odd. I thought this was more secular, you know, like I didn't. It presented itself as like a be your best self.
Wait. You don't think there is such a thing as secular Indians?
I mean, I don't have a ton of close Indian friends. We got Neil who's. Used to be Krishna or something, and
he's from Bangladesh.
Yeah, and yep. Shahir's Muslim.
Yeah, so you're looking
also Bangladeshi.
I think by secular, do you just mean that it's going to be a bunch of
like
white people
burgers.
And their colored friends from college? Is that what you're looking?
I mean, by secular, I really wanted like the fire pit, like. From the season 3 finale of The Office and the Tony Robbins things where they're like,
right.
You're going to pull off your shoes, you're going to shed your inhibitions, and you're going to walk across this thing. Like, I wanted some guy in...
Wait. What do you think meditation is?
Like, meditation is like what...
Did you just use the metaphor of fire pit walking as... As that's your touchstone?
I wanted to be my best self.
Live your best life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, like Joel Osteen kind of meditation, you know, like where they...
Wait, you want... So far, you've used Tony Robbins and Joel Osteen as your reference points for meditation.
Yeah.
I don't think you really know what meditation is.
I wanted to sit there silently for a while, but then I want them to also be like, all right, now that we've shaken off the rust,
right.
We're going to tell you how to get ahead in life. Like, sit down and shut up and meditate on this,
right.
Mother
no, man.
Effer.
Yeah, you're looking for something totally different.
Yeah, you don't really want meditation.
Okay, with the girl who used to be on the show, Sarah, she took me to some meditation thing once over in Falls Church,
mm-hmm.
and it was a bunch of people, all stripes of the rainbow.
Right.
Mostly white people, though.
Yes.
Half white, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's be real here.
Yeah, mostly white, and you know, I saw a lot of Trader Joe's bumper stickers. Like, right. I'll just call it like it is.
Wait, and they have bumper stickers? You just buy a Trader Joe's?
Yeah, to show you're white. Like, if the cop's about to pull you over and then he sees the TJ bumper sticker.
Spend enough like, time in the Northern Virginia suburbs, apparently.
Yeah, you are not, Dad. You're not a burbie. You city folk, get out of here. Ew, so passe. So I walked in there, and they pretty much had, like, secular priest
right.
talk, like, hey, like, sit down and shut up. I pretty much want Ben Stern, Howard Stern's dad,
right.
when captured on tape. The only clips Howard Stern has of his dad from the old days are going, shut up, sit down! And he would just play it on the show ad nauseum. Right, like, I told right. you not to be stupid, you moron. Like, that's what I need. I just need Ben Stern up front,
right.
and, like, he sees I'm reaching for his phone. He's like, shut up! And that's it.
So... Again, let's run yeah. down this list. Yes. You have Tony Robbins.
Mm-hmm. Joel Osteen.
You have Joel Osteen, and you have an old Jewish man.
Ben Stern, yeah.
These are your touchstones.
That's my holy trinity, yeah.
For.
So I wanted something where, like, I saw a bunch of, like, there was some religious stuff on the walls. Immediately my spidey sense went up. I'm not religious in the least. Like, I wanted to walk in and just, yeah, like, the whole... Shine on your brother, hold right. each other, kumbaya, we're right, all right. in this together.
Right.
But yeah, Howard, as you said, maybe 50% white. Like, just so I know it's not very religious. Just a bunch of dumb white people that want to take a break from their cell phone right. for 30 minutes. Like, that's what I'm signed up for. I walk in and it's like 80% Indian, it's baking hot, and there's like a lot of elephant stuff on the walls. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh boy, I miscalculated gravely. But in the spirit of improv, which you have taught me, sir, I said...
Don't throw this at my feet. Don't.
In the spirit of the racism you taught me, you're bragging before the show about the grand wizard being from your home. No. So I'm like, screw it. Let's just go with it. I had to take off my shoes, strike two. Like...
What?
You're supposed to take your shoes off for meditation. That's what you're supposed to
do. Not my Tony Robbins meditation. Unless
how do you walk on the coals then if you are wearing...
Safely. Safely. So I walk in, I'm shoeless, and like maybe 10 minutes in, like I'm eyeballing everyone. Everyone seems normal, but like they're pretty much just there for like, I guess their equivalent of church. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's just Indian people there for... Indian church, whatever right. that's called. Synagogue? I don't know.
Yes. So, synagogue.
So
I don't think you should be trusted with any religions whatsoever.
So they're waiting there for IC to start.
Right.
And the lady comes out. I don't know what the guru, I guess you'd mm-hmm. call her. She comes out.
Right.
And like she's in like a big white flowing robe. Mm-hmm. Like Earth, Wind, and Fire at the turn of the 70s. Oh like, God. I'm just like, oh boy, this is ornate. Mm-hmm. And she comes out with her dog. And I'm like, finally, something in like the ball column. You know, like there's a little dog walking around. It's right. really cute, well behaved. I'm like, cool, I can get behind a dog. Maybe we're on the right page. She starts prattling on about like her uncle in the old country. Mm-hmm. And just making all these like very almost cult-like assumptions, like, you know, when you just have that glow when the universe is figured out and mm-hmm. other people want to bathe in your infinite wisdom. Like, I have zero clue what you're talking about. And right. this is scaring the piss out of me.
Right.
So I sat through that for like 10 minutes. The final straw came when she was like, I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to like make conversation with them and introduce yourself. And I was just like, what are you doing, lady? Why are you doing? How is this going to make me a better person? I want to focus inward, and now I got to do small talk, which I despise. And I actually did it. Like, I talked to the lady next to her. She's like, hi, where do you live? She explained she was not too far away. So the only thing I really thought of in terms of conversation with, like, someone I don't do comedy with, someone I don't want to sleep with, someone who's not serving me food, I'm like... I just got really...
Wait. Yeah. That's the sum total of your interactions. That's your goals for every interaction. With
yeah, yeah. Like, can we do the yuck yucks?
Can we make each other laugh? Can we...
can we make laugh a baby?
Can we make...
Can we bump uglies?
Can we bump uglies? The beast with two backs.
That's actually... All those are ways I refer to comedy. Okay. Like, hey, I'm going to the open mic to bump some uglies. You want in? Uglies. Yeah. That's our improv troupe, the three of us. Bump
uglies. The bump and uglies.
Yeah. So I just started talking to her about the various ways she could have driven mm-hmm. to where we were. I was like, well, you've got Eldon Street, 495 this time of day. And she was kind of in, you know, she's just nodding along. And then we went back to this lady talking about her uncle in the old country having 13 gurus.
Right.
And like the old depressed me, who didn't think much of himself and value really anything of himself, would have been like, well, I'm here. I'm not going to be rude and interrupt this event for people.
Right.
The new me, supercharged and apparently rude, which is a measurement of mental health, 10 minutes in, I was like, the goddamn hell with this. I just faked getting a business call and marched right out. I sold it. Like, I walked out in the hallway and was like,
What?
You're locked out? $120? Okay, I'm there.
Okay.
And then I walked in and quickly got my
shoes. Thank God you mentioned the price, or else they wouldn't believe it.
I got my shoes. I got the hell out.
Right.
It was like the present I gave myself instead of getting out at 1:30 from this event, like pretty much all the way through the first quarter.
Right.
It was 12:15. I could go to Amphora and get a bunch of food to eat before the game. Yes.
So did someone contextualize this for you? Did someone say, hey, welcome to the Meditation Museum 2. Our guest tonight or today is going to be blah, 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 and she is this and she's that. Did someone do that, or did she just walk on in, did she just materialize?
She walked on like Cher at a Cher concert. Like, no one has to explain who the F Cher is, you know? It's just like, yeah, dude, Gypsy Tramps and Thieves.
Right.
She walked out, and they were just like, oh, our esteemed guru such and such.
Uh-huh.
And we were, I don't know, it was more of a polite clap.
Right.
Like you would get to like Cher in the mid-80s before that turn back time album, where she was just hanging on. And that was it. Like, there was no huge explanation of what I was in for, if it was even really a religious thing or whatever, but it dipped into way too much mysticism.
And I can't believe you didn't Google this before you went.
Yeah.
I just looked it up, and on, like, the fourth or fifth hit is the Washington Post explaining, this is the title of the article, Meditation Museum, Communing with the Divine in Silver Spring. Like, why are you going there? If that's like the key is communing with the divine and you're not looking for a religious experience.
I don't have.
That's a red flag from the Washington Post. I don't know why you even went.
Or is that fake news?
Big Papa. I don't touch that liberal rag. So if the Times didn't talk about it, you got nothing. Second of all, I didn't go five clicks deep. You want the real answer? I typed in Meditation Museum. I was happy as a pig in S that I got a hit. And I was like, I just went to their page.
All right. If you want to know what to look for, have you heard of Transcendental Meditation
with
David Lynch?
Yes, TM. Yeah. Again, Howard Stern. Go on.
All right. So you got to look for that and like things associated with David Lynch, who doesn't seem very religious to me.
Yeah.
Right.
So do that. My one problem with TM is like ever since I heard that Jared and Ivanka do it, I'm like, well, I want to do that.
Well, again,
they're terrible. I don't want to do that.
That's right.
It's a big New York thing.
Right. Yeah.
It's probably how it leaked into Stern's psyche as well. But
TM's been around for decades. I mean, that's where the Maharishi Yogi, the guy who led the Beatles to...
Now who's the racist, Sean? Yeah. You just made that up.
I just made that up. No, the guy who led the Beatles to India for the first time was into... I almost did it. It was into Transcendental Meditation. I almost did it. So.
You almost did your Dracula voice?
No, yes, that's right.
I'm into Transcendental Meditation.
My imitation of an Indian yogi is... Indian guru is... is Dracula. That's right. It's Bela Lugosi's Dracula.
I've looked into TM previously, and what turned me off when I was a much cheaper man, maybe I'll look at it now that I'm a little looser at the purse strings.
Yeah.
But you had to go specifically to a yogi.
Right.
And they pretty much you pay like I think $100 or $300 to learn your safe word or whatever the hell they call it. Your magic word.
Gosh.
You know.
Your mantra.
Yeah, your mantra.
You have to have a safe word with yourself.
Yeah, I was like,
so
safe
you
word.
Stop. You know when to take the ball gag out.
The killing word that they did in David Lynch's Dune. I go, Mwah, Deeb. And I point my little gun.
Sorry. No, I mean, you don't need to pay somebody. Look at your shirt. You got a mantra right there.
Pikachu. That one?
Yeah. Well, what is it?
It says,
Pikachu is my partner Pokemon.
Does it?
Or starter?
Starter Pokemon. All right. Yeah.
I think that's a great mantra.
I like it too. It rolls off the tongue.
By the way, you don't have to go. You know that you can download apps.
Really?
Meditation apps.
I do those, and they're not bad.
So why did you feel the need to go to a communal experience, knowing full well, A, that you hate most of humanity?
Yes.
And that you seem to relate to them only in a transactional manner?
Yeah. Yeah, I walked in. I was like, no blowjobs here. Turn tail. I wanted an excuse to unplug for an hour because the meditation apps, you know, you do through your phone.
Right.
And like without fail, 10 minutes in, I'll get a business call or like the calendar app will go ding. And then I'll look at it and it'll be like, remember to eat sandwich. And I'm like, cool, thanks, phone. And I do that.
You do know that you can turn all those notifications off momentarily and still engage with the app. I'm 52 years old. I can barely get on the internet.
Yes.
And I know that you can take care of your phone.
I have seen you and you're on your desktop. You're like, where's the yellow man double click?
Where's Clippy? I tried to write an email. He says, I see you're trying to write a letter.
Why is it the computer hissing? Is the speaker broken?
That's right. Even I, this geriatric old slob, understands that you can turn all that stuff off.
I did not know that.
That's right.
Okay, so what do I hit for that? Like,
well, it's interesting you should bring this up because I came across an article. I don't know if there's this thing called the internet, and there's this
brought to me by American Online. Yes,
yes, and there's this place called Medium, and I found this article on Medium that talked about how, in essence, we are slaves to our phones. That we are. We are the pecking chicken
100%.
In a Skinner box.
I was just gonna say it's BF Skinner
in
crap,
a BF
man.
Skinner box, and he says stop doing that. Turn all that stuff off. Turn your badges off. Turn your notifications off. And just you should be using your phone. Your phone should not be using you. And actually, it's I've done this recently, and it's actually transformed my life. It's almost as good as meditation.
The hard part for John, though, is
how
a lot of
money
times,
comes in.
Yeah,
right,
like,
right.
You hear that ring, and it's like, money in my pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
You just, like, look down, and you're hoping it's a number you don't recognize. It's like, oh, it's just Howard again.
Yeah.
Oh,
completely.
What does this guy want?
Completely understand. But now I sound like the guru. Mm-hmm. Is your personal happiness that important to you that you can't take a half hour out of your day, risk missing a call, and meditate completely, you know, try to be in the moment, and then turn your phone back on.
I guarantee it's going to be hard for this guy.
Okay.
At first,
because I would just be thinking about that missed money.
Yeah,
and then I would turn the notifications back on, and a voicemail would come up, and it would be like, "Hey, I'm locked out." And then I'd call them back, and they'd be like, "Hey, we got someone else. Sorry." And then I'd be like, "Screw peace, I don't need it." I think what I need to do is just take multiple stabs at it a day, and
right.
If we get an uninterrupted stretch, so be it. And I could do it off my iPad too, because
yeah.
That doesn't get the calls.
Right.
I think I tried to shut down the syncing between every device because
right now,
it is, like, I'll get a phone call and the phone's in the living room. I've got the iPad and the crapper with me and that's ringing and my laptop's ringing and my cat's like, why is the laptop ringing? It's we're slaves to that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like it. That is, I swear to God, in the top three reasons why I would like to actually make a living as a creative individual, so that like I'm not beholden to immediate phone call answering like I am as a locksmith, and I could just like put it on mute, be one of those dudes that checks the phone 3 times a day and that's it, like, so it doesn't represent hundreds upon hundreds of lost dollars if I do that.
Would it be worth it? And here I am trying to try to solve your problems. I can barely solve mine.
Where's your little dog?
Would it be worth it to hire what's the phrase?
A Stanley slave.
Yeah, no.
Like a phone service.
There are people. There are services where someone will take your call, and you can have someone to take your call, and then they say, "Yep, John will get right back to you. He's on another job. He'll get right back to you." And then like a half hour later, you can say that.
A lot of my calls.
Answering service. Virtual assistant.
Oh, no, I don't know about that. My dad used to have a legit answering service in the day back before cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
He would just have, like, a line in the house that rang, then people would take the call, they would beep him.
Right.
It was quite the production, looking back.
Right.
But back then, if you got locked out of your car, you had to go to a payphone, you'd drop a quarter.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then you didn't want to drop too many quarters. It's like, I can only call this many locksmiths.
Ironically, like, my dad didn't even dabble. Like, what I do is bottom feeder stuff. Like, my dad had actual, like, great contracts where it's like, replace these $1,000 safes for me.
If that doesn't end up on your website as marketing. What I do is bottom feeder stuff.
Lockout work is just the lowest of the low.
Hercules lock.
Yeah.
Well, it's perfect when you're ADD because it's like, hey, you need me right now. I'm
you
good.
You need me for 7 minutes. Exactly. I can give you 7 minutes. Because you're completely right, by the way. And I just landed a job where I have to install 32 deadbolts from scratch.
Right.
And, like, it'll pay. It's like 4 Gs or something like that. I'm dreading every second of it because I'm like, I have to do the same thing 32 times. This is hellish.
Right. I have to show up at this time on this day.
Yeah. Ah! I don't mess with it. Like, I have become such a piece of garbage running my own business. It's horrible. Like, I can show up for comedy related events. Like, I'm here on time. I'm here, you know, I show up for when we're doing our, you know, either events at your theater or I'm helping teach, which is fun. And I hope I get to teach the long form.
Keep going. Go ahead.
All right. And yeah, well, now I've just been sucker punched in the soul, so I don't know how to go on. And I can commit to the crap I truly like. But yeah, when I show up and someone's like, giving me a laundry list of work that's going to require me ordering parts, coming back, calibrating this, refitting that. I should be seeing dollar signs like some sort of cartoon shyster.
Right.
But I don't. I'm just like, I'm going to be so piss bored doing all this. Like, I don't want to do this.
You know, I'm going to put this into perspective. Our ancestors.
Mm-hmm. really exciting lives.
They would. Our ancestors are our male ancestors and even our female ancestors. Would get up every day and say, oh my God, I have to go stand behind an oxen for 12 hours as it farts and shits and pulls a plow into a furrow.
Yes.
And the straps will be strapped around my own body, and it will take every ounce of strength I have to maintain my composure in the hot, sweating, horrible sun as this happens. And then, you know what they would do? They would get up every day and do it again.
Yeah. I think there's a certain freedom in that. I think there's a certain freedom in having no hopes, no dreams, and being physically worked to the bone. Like, the days where I am worked from sunup to sundown, I am actually very fulfilled.
Really?
Yeah, it's, but that's not a good thing. Like, I think, man, we worked hard so that our progeny then did get to sit around and try to contemplate more existential stuff. Like, okay, what do I want to do with my free time on this earth? You're going to see eventually the way production is going right now. It wouldn't be more than a couple generations before we are living, like, at least in theory, could live Star Trek life. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, really no need. Like, robots are doing everything.
Or the Matrix life.
Yeah, that too. Right. That's probably closer to it, where we're just eating, like, green latticed steaks, you know, that sound like dialing into AOL when you bite them or whatever. And all that's going to be there, and I don't know if humans are built to handle this, all that's going to be there is you trying to figure out what to do when survival's not really a concern. Like, this is a very utopian view of where things are going to go, and I think we'll probably just die. Like, the environment will die. I'm fine, by the way, with all of us dying. I'm sad that, like, the cats and the gorillas will die. But, like, all if you're just like, look, all of humanity dies, but the animals are fine, I'd be like, cool, let's do it by 3 p.m.
So, like, so let me just put this in perspective.
Yeah.
You don't mind that humanity perishes.
No.
But you
not in the least.
A week ago, 2 weeks ago, you walked into a meditation center.
Yeah.
Well, where someone was espousing peace and brotherhood with your fellow person.
Well, my current North Star, which is Forrest Whitaker's ghost dog, he encourages us to meditate daily upon death. And that's, no, I personally don't see anything bad with all of us going. Like, some of us going, like the leftovers, that's bad. You know, the people left over are really squirrely. But if you just hit the reset button on the whole thing, and I were told that, like, the environment would get back in whack, everything else would survive on this earth. But, like, every person, every man, woman, child, and bug in Iraq as Borat would do.
Mr. Anderson, yeah, humanity is a virus.
I
Mr.
watched that,
Anderson.
And I'm just like, he's making some cogent points. I'm like, he's the villain here? Because he's, what? Where is he wrong?
But you do know that there's no philosophical difference between what you believe and what most fundamentalist, or, I'm not, sorry, let's not, many fundamentalist Christians believe about, like, that's they're okay with Trump pushing the button. Because and annihilating, because you know they're convinced that they're all going. That's part and parcel of the rapture. That you know, it's part of that death cult of America. That like forget it. We're all done. Let's just get to heaven. Let's just you know.
See, I don't believe in anything. Like I'm cool with all of us just entering a yawning void. Okay. Like just like because it really is. You would have to be.
So John's got more the sympathies with eco-terrorism.
Okay, cool.
I think that's more.
Yeah. Like legit, if we could all just die, and then like. The animals get back to whatever the animals do.
Killing each other, but go ahead.
Yeah. Like, I'm cool with that.
They're mostly on the way out, too, though. There's like, I heard you describing them, like, oh, I'm so sad for your worldview because we already screwed the animals. Like, it's not going to be better.
The animals
just
are pooched first. Right. Yeah. Like, if we die, then every whale is just going to sink with his 30 tons of plastic in his gut, mm-hmm. and that's it. So we've screwed everything. But yeah, I have no love for humanity. I think we've shown. The more freedom we're gaining and the more time we get away from having to like do really what we've evolved to do over millennia, which is like kill woolly mammoths with spears. A lot of spear talk today.
Yeah.
like you said, plowing fields for 12 hours mm-hmm. and not have entertainment all that much outside of sitting around a campfire and being forced to commune mm-hmm. and like, the one person in the village is like who doesn't join in on that is like known as the weirdo. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, oh, it's the quiet kid who secretly was like into incel stuff and he shot us all up. Like there was none of that in the old days. You're like, that's Fred. He's an effing freak. That's why he doesn't sit around the campfire and engage in the tale telling.
And in a couple of weeks, we're going to cut his throat at night.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we're going to crucify.
We're going to thin the herd.
So the crops flow.
That's right.
And the more we get away from that, the more our stupid brains truly cannot handle it. And like we just flip out and kill each other or I think get more into depression or just we're not equipped to handle where technology is taking us.
I don't know. I don't agree with that. Like, I feel like.
No, we should all die and be replaced with those robots from the Sky Vodka commercials.
No, that's true.
I think you remember this I worked on my uncle's ranch. For like that one winter before I went to law school.
Your Uncle Stanley.
Nah, but he it was weird because I was like, oh man, this is gonna be hard. I'm trying to get hard. And you know, it wasn't great because it was winter, so I was right. like,
I should
I'm,
just
I'm
say
you're tough.
No joke, your uncle is like a cattle rancher in Montana.
Yeah, so this was, you know, one winter.
Right.
Over a decade ago. And I was like, I'm gonna be so tough, like this is crazy.
Right.
But the reality was he was like 70-ish, and then learning how a 70-year-old person manages a ranch, I'm like, crap, this is kind of like semi-retirement.
Yeah,
this probably is just really healthy,
right?
Because it's like he worked half the day, he was done by lunch.
What
you know,
his,
just like
his
we
robots
would feed,
did the rest, or
we would maintain like his herd.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, we'd like unroll hay. So during the summer, he would you know create these bales of hay,
right.
And then we would feed them in the winter when they really didn't have as much access to grass, especially if there was a bad snowstorm or whatever. So,
but
I just realized like he was working at most. 4 hours, 5 hours a day, and then he would take a nap, and then after lunch, I was like, well, what are we going to do? You took a nap, and we ate, we're waiting for dinner, what now? He didn't have a TV, so just like, I'm going to read.
So
I read a lot.
It was
great.
When he would bring in the herd, like, to sell it, was that, like, hard work? Do you remember going?
That's, like one day, though.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So it's just, it sucked that day, because we had to wake up super early.
Right.
But it was one day. And then again, that day, we were done by two. And you know what? The town where you, like, go to the auction house, great pie. So, like, my memory of that day, I'm just like, oh, yeah. And it ended with a Boston cream pie.
Great pie. I love that. You're in beautiful Montana. What do you walk
Someday with? Someone's going to be looking at you earnestly and going, so you worked on a cattle ranch. What was it like? What was the exploitation of animals? Oh, no. Great pies. Yes.
So I raised this calf, and then I sliced his throat, and then there was a maple pecan to die for. Great pie. Now I want to go there for the pie. I don't care.
Yeah,
about
it's there's not much else to remember about Miles City, Montana. I'll put it that way.
Well, this brings you're this connecting the dots on how you feel more fulfilled when you do physical activity.
Absolutely. Like if
So you feel more fulfilled with and you want something that's a bit more, you know, being present and stuff like that. You want to hear a off the wall suggestion? Yoga.
Okay.
Because and I've done it off and on, and I'm planning on going back. You know, yoga is very strenuous. It doesn't seem like it, but it actually is.
I've done it now and again.
So I mean, you have to concentrate and be present. You can't think about other things. You have to think about hitting this pose, whatever it looks like. And even the more you think about hitting the pose, the less successful you
are. You're not as ADD as me, man. Yeah,
but here's the thing.
John's mostly just thinking about hitting that ass.
There you go. This man knows me.
You're that guy in a yoga class where the women are like, hey.
Get away from him, yeah. It's literally, at this point in my life, it's holding in farts and
There could be like four people in the class and like all the women up front, you're like setting your mat in the back, right?
Yeah.
Hey, John, you want to move up front? No, I'm fine back here.
Take out my lollipop. Right,
I'm good, girl.
John, what? Put that phone down. You don't take any photos. And
just got to keep track of these positions.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, like, if you could just do a few hours, because I don't think you want to do the full 8-hour outdoor job at this point,
no.
But a couple hours a day, it's perfect. Do a little of that, have a little bit, not a lot of reading as, like, the end of the day. I guess that's my sad part with society now is when you talk about where people are going with it. The internet's awesome. Like, the other day I was looking up Carl Sagan just talking about the origins of science.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, at the same time I'm looking at that, YouTube is suggesting me all these videos on flat Earth.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, be kidding me.
Right.
The internet wants to hear about flat Earth. They don't want to listen to Carl Sagan explain the mysteries of the universe.
Right.
Like, how do we get to the point where everybody's like, hey, we don't have to work. We're all pretty well fed. This is good. I want to understand how things work better instead of, like, what is the stupidest possible thing I could look at on the internet?
Right.
So that's, like, the problem right now to me is, like, we're heading in the wrong direction on what we do with our free time, but it could be really cool. It could be. They could be listening to Papa's Basement hour upon hour. Edifying themselves.
I think it's terrible that YouTube's logarithm, I've heard the really bad thing is really quickly it can take you down some rabbit holes of scary thought. And supposedly, like, it doesn't have much political thought or content, but the majority, like the vast majority of its political content is just like way, way right wing stuff, like truther type stuff, you know? It's, I don't know. I mean,
but this has also been the arc of most technology. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like when television was first invented, one of the things it was touted as was you won't have to. You can learn so much. There'll be all sorts of edifying content. And nobody used the word content in the way we use it now. But, you know, all this cool stuff will happen. And of course, you know, we ended up having, you know, Hello, Larry in the 70s or McLean Stevenson, numerous McLean failed McLean Stevenson, you know, sitcoms.
Yes.
Right. That's what it devolved into. Radio. I mean, you know, the same way. I mean, when people first thought of it, you mean I don't have to sit around and go have to and pay a lot of money and to go hear, Brahms played, played live. I can just simply turn on a station and hear Brahms. And of course, it became, you know, by the mid 80s, Rush Limbaugh was on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the internet, when the internet first started, it was, as we all know, scientists and people who work in technology, you know, sharing information and learning about things, and you know, it was a scientific experiment. You know, and that's not completely accurate, but now it's flat Earth videos on YouTube. I don't know.
I think it's testament to, for the most part, I mean, I guess I am very pessimistic. I wouldn't say it's pessimistic. It's just being accurate about people. Like, you've summed it up. We can be given beautiful technology after beautiful technology, and in the end, it's just like, how can I hate through this, and how can I jizz to it?
Right.
And how can I order via Amazon? Like, that's, I guess that's the wrinkle with the internet. Like, you can buy crap, too. It's revolutionized commerce, which the other stuff
right.
hadn't really done, but I guess the mail did that. I didn't, the Sears catalog. Did you know that the Sears catalog was a massive tool in, like, the fight for civil rights?
Yeah, I saw that post. I saw that post on the internet.
Yes.
It was a godsend to African American families because, if an African American family went downtown to shop in their local town, they wouldn't be helped, or they would be if they were allowed in.
I just had to hit the dump button. Yeah. Howard said, "Proof that all technology is bad," and I don't like that kind of humor on this show. That's just, if you can keep it clean, I'll turn your mic back on.
If they were waited on, they were waited on last, right?
Yeah.
And so this is a way of...
It was like this horrible experience where the shopkeeper was some gatekeeper. I don't know.
Most retail shopping didn't exist for African-American communities until...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Sears catalog was like, send us your money.
They
did watch out for Jewish last names, though. They were like, all right.
Of course.
Here's your check back, Mr. Schwartz. We'll let the blacks in, but this is a bridge too far.
That's right.
Howard, God, please. So you and I, we can do Baltimore. We can do the live podcast. What do we got? Stan Lee. Do you want
to? I think you should take this one. Tell us what you want to
do. The Stan Lee story is kind of stale by this point, man. Do you really have a hard on for like?
No, not in the least. I kind of want to goof on. Apparently, Bill Maher, I'll just say this, is getting flack. Because
good.
He said, you're not the biggest Bill Maher guy.
I don't like Bill Maher.
I do not, in terms of actually watching him, it bores the living piss out of me. But like a lot of crap that comes out of his mouth that most people are shocked by, I'm like, I don't disagree with that. Like, he's a piece of crap. Like he was going on about recently, only in a country that like venerates comic book heroes and this kind of dumb crap.
Right.
Could Donald Trump be elected?
Right,
and I'm like,
right.
You know what? At least it's like, it's a funny slash maybe a point worth talking about.
Right.
And people came down on him like Mjolnir,
right.
Thor's hammer, the hammer of the gods. And I don't know. I mean, it made me.
Why the beard of Odin? Yeah.
Because you're a person who read comic books is the other thing, so you were not offended by it.
I had a brief window.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I also am creeped the hell out that they are the juggernaut of pop culture right now and have taken on such greater significance. Like, so many people that, like, do fit the bill. Like, yeah, you're a nerd. You don't get banged much. You're paunchy. I get it. You're into comics. But they, in the last 7 years-ish, where the Marvel juggernaut has really taken off, it's gone from, like, yeah, I bought the new Spider-Man video game to be like, oh my God, did you see the green gem didn't glow on Thanos' gauntlet? That means we're all going to be rewound. Just like they're completely getting balls deep in this stuff. Like, it's the only art worth exploring. And I'm like, dude,
yeah,
it's still pretend drawing people at the end of the day.
I often wonder why. I'm not surprised by this. I guess my question is, and it's a question I always ask. I've been asking most of my life. Whenever these things bubble to the top, whenever sort of like what was once considered a low culture, mm-hmm. Art form suddenly makes its way not only to the top of the culture, but to becomes ubiquitous in the culture. My first question is always why? Why is this happening? Like, for instance, why were teenage vampire love stories a big deal, 10 years
ago. You're completely
right. Like, why were we so compelled by Harry Potter 20 years ago when it first came out? Why are these things happening?
I mean, I'll give you the cynical perspective that
Please
I
do.
Have on
yeah.
it. It's if you look at, I guess we've been talking about technology changing.
Right.
It's harder and harder for the big studios to get people to go watch a movie in person because
right.
yeah.
you have an amazing set at home. What's going to take to get me to go someplace with a bigger screen and surround sound? And for me at this point, it has to be an action movie.
Yeah.
Like, I am
You're completely right.
the
yeah.
biggest demographic that the movie studios hate, where it's like, I don't go to movies anymore unless there's a reason. Like, the
right.
last non-action movie I saw in a theater was probably La La Land, because I'm like, you know what? music's a fair bit of that. Surround sound actually, I think, would make a difference. But I had to think about every time I see a movie where I'm like, I want to see that, 98% of it, I'm like, I'm just waiting for that to come out so I can watch it at home.
Right, right.
And you got to give me a damn good reason to go see it.
And you, this is a good point. This is also why, you know, one of the reasons we are, I think you've identified one of the reasons we, why we are in the great age of television, because all the good writers who were in Hollywood, who would have been in Hollywood 15 to 20 years ago, were like, what, you want me to write a damned, you know, superhero thing? I'm going to go write something I really want to write, and I'm going to write it, you know, episodically. And,
yeah,
and,
you can explore a character.
You can explore a character over the arc of a season.
Yeah.
Or over the arc of,
you get,
you
like,
know,
82 hours or two.
Yeah. That is, which is why we shouldn't even have the Academy Awards anymore, because we're basically awarding movies that nobody went to see, you know, in the theater.
Well, Netflix is considered to be disrupting the movie theater system, because I think Amazon's trying to play along more, but Netflix is like, nah, we watch it at home on Netflix first. It's cool.
I mean, the newest Joel and Ethan Coen thing, mm-hmm. you know, if that had, you know, premiered, you know, 10 years ago, it would have premiered in the theater. I watched it, and it did premiere in like select theaters in like Chicago, New York, and L.A.
Just to barely qualify for the Academy Awards.
Yeah. But I watched it on Netflix the other night.
Oh, you did Facebook about it or something like that.
No.
You didn't?
No.
All right. No. What am I thinking about?
Some other loser who sits at home and watches Joel and Ethan Coen movies.
I think you mean Cool Practitioner of Improv.
But I mean, to me, Marvel's no different than like Star Wars in the 70s. It's just Star Wars got crappy when they did the episodes 1 through 3. It just had a real like decline in quality compared to what I've been seeing out of Marvel. So
yeah, you're right, it's filling like this sci-fi void. I guess people were utterly obsessed. It's weird to me though that I suppose the difference being that Star Wars had no source material, it was just whole cloth made up, whereas Marvel movies are what everyone's into, and then like the true nerds among them, I feel, have tried to like justify that or prove their bona fides or whatever by getting into the comics after the fact and being like, no, the Ta-Nehisi Coates Black Panther, I totally read that one. And it's like, get the hell out of here.
Just keep in mind that as we speak right now, there are people in Hollywood taking gambles on what the next big thing is going to be. Like, you know, like any cultural artifact that has a shelf life, and we're going to get sick and tired of Marvel comics or even, you know,
I can't wait.
But right now, someone is gambling on what that next thing is going to be. And you know, there are people who are on Wall Street are shorting the market on superhero movies and are taking, you know, long bets on what that next thing is going
to be. But they're not sure what it is. I think it comes down to what's great about Marvel is you have a tried and true product where you have these stories where you can like test focus groups on things that some of the mega fans can tell you, I prefer this part of Iron Man, not that part,
right,
or whatever it is. And I think when you look at how they have been picking new action movies, it was like Hunger Games and other series. So Harry Potter, you were talking about,
right.
They keep coming out with the new ones on Fantastic Beasts because it's just like, hey, we have a franchise. Everybody wants a franchise because once you have a proven product, you can just keep pushing them out till people stop watching it. Like, that Allegiant series, did you know there's supposed to be another one? And they're not going to even bother making it because the last one did so poorly.
Right.
They're like, oh, that fourth one we were planning, straight to TV.
Right.
So, like, that's why they're not sure if Shailene Woodley's going to come back. I think she's really upset that they, like, promised her that she'd have something like Hunger Games. And it's like, actually, the last part's going to be kind of like a Lifetime TV movie. So,
But this is also a good thing, too, for writers. Of novels, you know, even, you know, fantasy and sci-fi novels, but even other novels, right? But it's also a good thing for TV writers because finally, TV writers have woken up to the idea that this is a beneficial thing. Are you guys watching Better Call Saul?
I do when it gets punched up to Netflix.
It's head and shoulders better than Breaking Bad. And what they've done is they borrowed that sort of prequel-esque model that Star Wars has done and other, you know, franchises of that.
And they've included Jar Jar Binks.
And they put Jar Jar Binks as Saul Goodman's law partner. And let me tell you.
Why didn't you just start there?
The writing is, and the dialogue is just, I mean, it's breathtaking. But you know, that's it's that model that writers who would have shunned or poo pooed that, you know, poop. I just said poo poo.
<It's a best laughs>
Nino, like Better Call Saul. That's my Jar Jar Binks. I'm a 52-year-old man.
That was actually your Apu impression, but I'm disgusted.
But writers who wouldn't have got it, who would have, you know, who once that series was over would have gone to the, you know, flown to the wind, are gathered around this other thing doing a prequel about it. I think that's a good thing.
I think that's good. I do believe that we've seen a big contraction in terms of money that goes towards big budget junk that does not have a backing property, though.
Right.
And I was trying to think of, like, I'm talking out of my ass here big time. But I want to say one of the, like, one of, if not the last, like, big kind of attempt at a blockbustery type film.
Right.
That was just made up start to finish, not coming from any sort of property that I can think of, was like Pacific Rim, like five damn years ago. And even that was just literally like, buy these goddamn toys when we release them.
Right.
And it did okay, especially because I think it like killed in China.
Right.
Like they loved it there to the point, like I watched Pacific Rim Uprising, got bad reviews. So like you guys were saying, waited for it to come out at home. Not even like liking the first one. I was like, well, the fish sex movie director, he's not getting me to watch, you know, because he was only producing the second one.
Right.
So I wait for it to come out. I watched it last week and like it was a piece of crap. And like the franchise probably ends with that because the movie had to be expensive as all hell to make. It's nothing but CGI robots fighting each other.
Yeah, they're diminishing returns usually on sequels. So if they start breaking even, I think it might have come close to breaking even, but they know the writing's on the wall at that point of like,
They're not going to make any more of that. And also set heavily in China, a lot of just straight up Chinese being spoken. Like this is built for a Chinese audience. Gotten that tailor made at this point.
Well, we'll see. Maybe there will be a sequel that's just in Chinese, honestly.
Literally that could be like with just Charlie Day being like, what is everyone saying? You know, that's it.
I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Hollywood is looking east. They're looking at China as a huge market.
And yet no hot chick Asian lead still. What the hell?
What is wrong
with you?
Just saying.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
There it is. I'm just saying. Like, we had...
No, don't even go down that path.
Well, no, it's weird. Like, there's not a big integration of cast. It's like, we're going to do Crazy Rich Asians. And it's like, you know, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Like, you can just have, like, one person in a romantic couple being Asian. Or, did you ever watch Harold and Kumar? That movie wasn't all that weird, was it? That was, like, an 2004, and just nothing came of that, where it was, like, an Indian lead, East Asian lead, and then, like, the romantic lead was, like, Latina.
You know, it's interesting how the right wing often pounds.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm. You know, it's funny. Whenever
in the
I'm
woods
on
of
show,
Montana.
Whenever I'm on the show and I say something that can just seem banal.
Yeah.
I immediately go, I know where John's going. I know where his brain's going. But the right wing often like criticizes and chastises Hollywood for its, you know, leftist activism. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how Hollywood is in some cases the most blatantly, obviously racist.
Oh my God!
When it comes to like, some of these things,
like there's
really
so much.
Right,
and I'm not saying this from like a big old lefty point of view, but it's straight up tokenism.
Right,
still,
like,
oh my, okay, look, make like Barista 2 black. Give me like a trans lady walking her dog, and cool, we're representative now. And you know, everything is still white people falling in love with each other.
I mean, that's kind of how when I hear people talk about the 2020 primary, it has that same feel of like, who can win in 2020? And I feel the way that people are talking about the next Democratic nominee for president is how you look at Hollywood producers casting, where they're like, well, you know, I don't think America's ready for that. So not me.
Yeah.
It's really, I just look into the sea and I just, Beto O'Rourke is what middle America wants.
Right.
Like, can you guys also get with a white guy on the coasts?
Right.
So that's just, do you want all of America or do you just want to, like, make less money in California and New York?
Right.
God, do you ever just look back sometimes at Obama's election in 2008 and, like, in light of what's happened since, you're just like, how the hell did that happen? Yeah.
Like, oh, I keep telling people about this. I haven't been on your show since I listened to it. Chris Hayes.
Yeah.
All In with Chris Hayes has a new podcast. One of the first episodes. I've only listened to one, but the one I did was amazing. It was about a scholar who's been studying race perception in politics since Obama was elected. So it's a much better way to explain why Trump is president. And just looking at some of the data, again, talking about how little faith, like many people, assume all of us here have in Americans and like the world generally.
Yes.
In 2008, most Americans, when asked which party tends to be more favored or do more favorable acts towards the black community in the United States, the majority of Americans couldn't tell you if it was Democrats or Republicans.
Wow.
They were just like, I don't know. So, like, this is just the level of education. Until we had a black president, there was a lot of white Americans who were like, is it Republicans? I don't know. They were just like, they just didn't know. And so it was only after you had Obama come in as a Democratic president that you started to see a lot of people be like, wait, I think racial politics is something that the Dems only care about. White people are oppressed. And it started in 08. And so that's why, like, Obama was able to come in 2008 and then immediately get obliterated in 2010 as, like, this racial identity suddenly started to be tied to each party. Because it wasn't that way before 2008. It's this strange
thing. Back when everyone was white, pretty much. Like, let's be honest.
Before a white? I mean, like...
It was still a very white thing. Like, both sides. I mean, like, that is how the Dems lost the whole South, right? I mean, I'm already...
They suddenly were like,
oh, we're not going to be like horribly racist anymore.
Right.
And that's how like a lot of former Dems then were like, well, I'm going to go with.
Remember Sam Nunn was a, not, who was it? No, it wasn't Sam Nunn, who was a Georgia Democrat who changed parties. Richard Shelby was elected as a Democrat and then became a Republican.
Then Thurman.
Yeah.
Strom Thurmond and the Dixiecrats.
Yeah.
That takes me back to things I learned in school and promptly forgot. So we can either wrap up now. I know you're worried about shows being too long because you think people can't handle all this magic.
Well, you know, here we've been chastising technology for people's taking it. And we're like, hey, yeah, technology sucks. By the way, listen to an hour and a half long podcast.
But I mean, people listen to talk radio for like 3 hours a day. If you don't think we're as entertaining
I think we're more entertaining and I think intelligent, but... I guess since we're not lambasting someone isn't the victim here.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to
look all of the world.
Do you guys want to pick a random person who is universally loathed that we can sort of like?
We'll just say it on three. Okay. One, two, three. Puerto Rico.
Tony Danza. Tony.
Oh. Yours was better than mine. All right. Cool. That got awkward fast. So we can keep going. I mean, I want to put out there that you and I are doing a live show
Wednesday, December 19th. Yeah.
At the Unified Scene Theater.
Unified Scene Theater. We're recording this podcast live.
And we're going to.
But it's called. Go ahead and say the name of it.
WTF is wrong with you.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
We're now past the hour mark, so I can say fuck.
Right.
Yeah, it's called What the Fuck is Wrong with You with Sean and John.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some format ideas. I know what I'm going to do to start, though. I'm going to bring multiple boxes of wine on stage and put them on the podcast table. And we're going to bring a bunch of like cups too.
Right.
And we're going to have people come out of the audience and then I'm going to write fancy wine on the side of the boxed wine. And they're going to get wine every time they come up.
That's advertising right there.
Yeah.
If it just said wine, then we're going to let it
know. No.
But if it said fancy wine.
Fancy wine. Yeah. And like the Y will be backwards like Toys R Us type stuff. So they think I'm like some dumb orphan.
Right.
And we're going to get people loaded because it's BYOB.
Right.
So we can serve the liquors there.
But we're basically going to ask them to tell us about a challenge or problem they have.
Yeah,
We're going to give them advice on that problem.
Yeah, and we're going to advise them. And people from the audience, do we want the audience to pipe up? That's a slippery slope.
That's the whole point of that. Yeah.
Well, just to bring their problem up, but do we want them maybe offering their help with the problem?
No, there you go. There's a reason God gave us microphones.
Exactly, That's why we have the podcast and
That's right. I don't care, do you?
No, I'm worried that it could degenerate into like an Attica riot. Like if we ply them with liquor, then
how it goes from podcast to Attica.
Yeah, right? Like
we're burning just mattresses, and
we'll both be like
throwing,
you know,
feces.
Yeah, busted lips. They're holding us by the tie, screaming "White pig" at us and stuff. You know, like it'll be good. It'll be a fun time. All right, so that's about it. I guess we can play our outro music, right? We did the plug. Mm-hmm. We've solved everything.
Yeah.
Wrong
yeah.
with America
you're
right
welcome,
now.
World.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You're welcome.
I wanna thank you both for coming in. I'm gonna, you know what, I'll give Howard hasn't it's been a while since I did something with Howard. Howard, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate the time working out, so.
Yeah, I'm glad you could escape your baby and your responsibilities. Who needs children and wives?
Escape
and
your baby.
That's all this, escape your baby. That's my new show. Don't steal it, you bastards. Sean, first of all,
sir,
thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
Thank you for all we do at your theater. We've got a stand-up show coming. If you want to see me do stand-up and Sean do stand-up.
That's right.
At his theater. We're doing that in D.C. again at his Unified Scene Theater, 80 T Street Northwest. And that's going to be December 12th.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday, December 12th. It's a free show.
Free show again.
Also BYOB.
Yeah, bring so you can get shit hammered again. Like, as long as the show was free, you can walk in with just a
fifth. How come the podcast turns to Attica, but the stand-up show doesn't, just by the presence of booze and unfit?
Because you are unquestionably the man with the mic in the front.
That's okay.
And if anyone lips up, they know that they're going to get the heckler's retort.
Got
you know? Like, I don't come and smack the dick out of your mom's anus or however that goes. You know?
That's your heckler's retort?
Yeah. Right. I just scream, your mother's a whore. She birthed one. And yeah, it gets really quiet real fast. So that's about it. You want to follow, it's at Basement Howard on Twitter. Sean's got all sorts of social media accounts. He's at Sean Westfall and at Unified Scene DC on both Instagram and Twitter. And I am at Papa's Basement because I'm John Papagiorgio. And the show's name is tied into that on Insta and everything else. Find the show on Facebook, on YouTube, on Stitcher. Share it. That means a lot. Please do. Please don't make me beg. It's Thanksgiving. God, don't make me a beggar on Thanksgiving. God damn it. Till the next one, we're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a good wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis. Yeah. Then he said masturbation. Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on